WDW for Families, the original family-friendly trip planning podcast, helping you plan your Disney vacation for over 5 years.
All right, welcome to WDW for Families, and we are here, and it has been a while since we've been with you. I guess we're kind of getting long in the tooth as a podcast, I would say, and so we come in and out, we come in intermittently now. We'll try to pick up a recording schedule. We'll see. We're still looking for an audio guy. If somebody out there listens to our show, loves Disney, would love to be an audio person, we'd love to have you. Audio girl. I don't know why I was discriminatory there. So anyways, we have with us today, we have a three-team member panel. First of all, from the Great White North, Charity is here. You've got a lot of snow this year, Charity?
We have had a good bit. Yeah, the kids have gotten to play in some snow, and we've had many a morning that the school bus has come and we had some snow on the ground. So, yeah, it's been good.
All right, and out west in the land of Tejas in Texas is Kevin Hackett. How are you, Kevin?
Yeah, great. We have had zero snow, and, just weird things happening weather-wise, but... Man, life's good, man. Life is good. Missed being here with all the listeners.
Yeah, in Tennessee this year, it has been wild. Every year we go to Disney the same time of year, and it generally snows. And that's usually the only snow of the season. And this year we had a humdinger of a snow for Tennessee. You know, we had about 4 to 5 inches on the ground, and that shuts everything down in Tennessee. We're not used to it. We don't have the infrastructure for it. Nobody drives vehicles with chains on the tires, you know, so it's just a different, you know, the people up north make fun of us down here, but you know, we don't have to deal with it very often. So advantage us. Anyways,
I think you can actually blame that on my husband, because the 1 week he decided to come back to Nashville is the 1 week you guys got snow.
Well, I like it 1 week, because everything gets shut down. Kids don't have to go to school. Worked out perfectly for me, because I took my vacation days. I was in California that week, and I didn't have to take vacation days, which is really nice. All right, let's get to it this morning. Let's just get an update real quick. It's been a while. Have you been to Disney since we recorded last in October, Charity?
Yes, I had an opportunity to go in November, and I attended the second Jollywood Night. So had a lot of fun with that.
And we're going to we're actually going to record a show about that. Yeah, we're definitely going to do it. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to share. I had a great experience.
All right, Kevin.
It was just a short 1 day trip, but trust me, I made the most of it. So we can talk about that at some point.
Well, I have been to both Disney World and Disneyland since we last recorded, and I guess that's one of the main reasons we're recording today is every year, I think there's been 1 or 2 years where we haven't done this, but our podcast, I think, is approaching almost 11 years old, maybe even 12, and we have done a marathon show pretty much every year, a Run Disney show pretty much every year, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do our annual Run Disney podcast, and so mainly it'll be up to Charity and Kevin to ask questions, since they did not run this year. My wife and I ran the Disney World Marathon, but this year was slightly different because Disneyland brought back their races, and so we're finally running at Disneyland again, and we actually got an email about 4 months prior to the run saying that the Disneyland races were back. And since we had run every Dumbo challenge up to that point, they were going to honor our legacy status and give us early entry into the challenge, into the half marathon and the 10K. And being the suckers that we are, that was the decision maker for us. We're like, okay, well, we're legacy runners now, so we've got to sign up for that one too. So the mistake was that we didn't realize they were running the Dopey Challenge, which we always run during Disney Marathon weekend, but the very next weekend was the Dumbo Challenge at Disneyland.
Geez.
So we literally flew into Disney World Wednesday, ran Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, flew back to Nashville Monday, flew back to LA Thursday and ran Saturday, Sunday, and flew back Tuesday. Anyways, yada yada. We'll talk about that more. Whew, that's a lot.
No kidding. No kidding.
Well, it was a financial investment and a time investment. That's for sure.
Well, yeah. And so let me ask, just out the gate, I do have a beginning question. There was a little bit of frustration around the marathon this year along about Saturday because of the half marathon. Can you tell us what the vibe was? Because if people don't know, there was rain and lightning, and so they had to cut it short. And so people that had signed up for the half marathon didn't get to run the full thing because they cut it short. But what was the vibe around the runners?
Well, I think it depends on what kind of a runner you are. As I have gotten older, I have gotten less competitive. We used to say on the show that my wife was a finisher and that I was a runner. We're both now finishers. I am now a finisher officially. Nice. So where I was in the corral, I was back, further back this year. I think they have corral A all the way through corral. I think it was F, but we were in D. And back where I was, it was like people were saying they shortened the marathon. We're like, yeah, we were all like, they shortened the half. We're like, oh yeah, that's, 4 of my 6 miles, I don't have to run. This is awesome. Now, I know a lot of the more, stringent people, the people that were obsessed with running, they were disappointed. And I understood that. But actually, it was one of the Run Disney hosts came up to me and was like, hey, how are you feeling? Are you okay with this? And I was like, yeah, this is awesome. I don't have to run 13 miles today. I'm just running 6 or 7. And so I was pleased. But it was split 50-50. I didn't hear as much complaining as I did the year they canceled it.
Oh, yeah.
So I think a lot of people were relieved. And they made the right move because they had to even shorten it more. Because as I was approaching the finish line, those of you who've listened to the podcast before know that one of the race announcers, John Pelkey, always calls me out because he's seen me for years wearing Tennessee Titans stuff. And he saw me and he ran over to me and he goes, hey, dude, I just looked at the radar. You need to get back to the hotel now because it is about to unleash. And so, as soon as we got on the bus back to the hotel, it did. It laid open. Like the skies went crazy and they had to can the end of the race there. They had to hustle people along. And so, that's just kind of the risk you're taking. But the funniest thing about it to me is that it's always the half marathon. Like it's never been any of the other races, the 5K, the 10K, the full. It's always been the half that's been snake bit. The year it snowed, half marathon. The year they canceled it, half marathon. The year of the torrential downpour was the half marathon. It's just, anyways, yeah.
Interesting. Well, okay, so I have another one. Then Charity, it's your turn. So I know your family has been a character family since forever, it seems. Were there any unique characters out that you saw that you were like pretty excited about?
Yeah, or if we're talking mainly just the Walt Disney World Marathon, oh man, I wish I'd have realized you were going to ask this question. We had never met Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether. We had never met the three fairies from Sleeping Beauty. They were out. And we had to time it right. We had to wait for Sleeping Beauty and Prince Philip to go in because they rotate characters. But we timed it right. We waited about 10 minutes in line there, and we met them, which was really cool. If you're not familiar with the races, that's one of the big reasons people love the Disney races, is they bring out rare characters. And when we start talking about the Disneyland race, I will have significant things to say about that. So,
okay.
Anyways. Yeah. Charity.
Yeah. So, I had remembered hearing about, the people who went back out and like ran around the parking lot until they got their miles to officially say. So I'm taking that you were not doing that.
Not this year. Like, the year they canceled it, we went out and ran it. Just because that was a cool thing. Like that was a that was a vibe. It was like a listen to me, Travi Hip. That was like there was. It was just kind of a grassroots movement all throughout the parks and the hotels, and people were doing it everywhere, and it was just kind of cool. It was hard not to be a part of that. This time, I didn't notice it as much. I did see people running the parking lot, and I thought they were stupid. Not stupid's a strong word. I thought that was. I was like, dude, I'm running the marathon tomorrow. I ain't gonna put six more miles on my legs when I'm running the marathon tomorrow. So that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's fair.
So just like there weren't a lot of changes. The course had some random changes, and you know, the usual construction type things. We did spend more time at Blizzard Beach this year during the marathon, which was insanely unpopular. You know, the race being shortened was a pretty big deal, but I don't really have a lot of changes to report. It did feel like Run Disney was all the way back. I know we said that the year before it felt like that too. This felt like, okay, they're hitting their stride again. This feels like Run Disney knows what they're doing. The one thing that I came away with after going to Disneyland and Disney World is Disney World just knows what they're doing. They've been doing it so long. It's such a machine now. They even have the they still haven't figured out how to keep people from buying merchandise and selling on eBay, but they have figured out the registration process pretty good. It's a well-oiled machine. And so, you know, going, you have to go the day before to register for the race and pick up your stuff. You know, I guess we should back up. The biggest muck up, I guess you could say, the Disney World race has had was their registration again. It's just they cannot figure that out. You know, people get on and try to register and they sit in that queue and they don't get in. And you know, some people get in, some people don't. We don't know what the rhyme or reason is to, you know, how people get in the virtual queue and how they don't. And it's a big frustration to people because the people don't know, like, I want to register my wife and my kids for the race. So they sit there and they're on the computer registering everybody for 20 minutes. By the time they finish to pay, the race they want is sold out because they don't know to do that. So I guess what I would suggest for our Run Disney people, if you're listening to this and you're just wanting tips on the Disney Marathon, which I think is probably a better way to go on the podcast, is I would make sure that every member of your family is trying to register themselves and have a different computer for each person. And I would just try to get people in like that. Like if my wife and my son and I are all trying to get in the marathon, I would have 3, 4, 5 different computers open, phones, and I would just be trying to get in that virtual queue. Whoever gets in first, get there, try to register yourself and pay for it immediately and just hope that the next people get in. The race that's going to sell out the fastest are the half and the 5K. The half and the 5K will go first. 10K will go next. The challenge will go pretty quick there too, with the challenges are the two longest distance races at Walt Disney or the challenge at Disney World's Dopey, and that will go next. Goofy and the full marathon, you've got a little bit of time, but you still need to be on your device that day, that morning as it opens. For example, next Tuesday, we're going to kind of date this podcast, I guess. Kevin, you'll have to hurry up and get it out. The Tuesday is the registration for the Disneyland Halloween race that they're just starting over Labor Day weekend. That race will begin registration at 11 o'clock. In my opinion, every one of those races will be sold out by 11:20 is my thinking. So that just kind of gives you a heads up. So you have to register for these races. The races, you know, the Dopey Challenge is a staggering $600. And I know that sounds daunting, but and it is. Yeah. That's a lot of money to run. But if you're doing it's kind of a bucket list thing to do.
Yeah.
All right.
Where did you stay this time? I know last time we were talking about, you know, how much you loved staying at the values. Does it matter whenever you're running a race, and what was your experience with that?
Well, I will give just a couple of tips on that. We did stay at Disney All-Star Sports this year. This is the first time we had not stayed at a deluxe hotel for the Disneyland Marathon. and we didn't notice a difference in the buses. In fact, I will give you a tip. If you're choosing between the All-Stars, if you're in All-Star Sports, you're the first group to be dropped off, and the buses that are picking up are exclusive. So they've got exclusive buses for the pickup. So you're going exclusively to Disney Sports on the pickup, and on the drop-off, they're dropping you off first. So it's if you're choosing Marathon Week, choose All-Star Sports, and which is it's a good option. And I would pay for the preferred option like we talked about before. We did that so we could save money to go to the Disneyland Hotel when we went to Disneyland.
Yeah, well, they've redone all those rooms. They're just really nice. Those All-Star rooms are really nice.
They are nice, they are small, but they are nice. And I do miss my people watching on the balcony after the marathon, but hey, you sacrifice.
Yeah. Well, thinking about our podcast listeners, what resorts would you suggest? So definitely if you're in a value, All-Star Sports, but if you do have the option to go for a moderate or a deluxe, what would your suggestion be specifically for the races?
For the races, especially if you've got family, Beach Club and Boardwalk are two great options because the runners are going to run by those resorts multiple times. Those would be great options. If the runners will also run by the Grand Floridian, but not as close. I mean, the Epcot resorts are going to be the best bet, I think, for deluxe resorts. As far as the moderates go, I don't know that there's really a difference. I don't believe in Port Orleans for Marathon Week. It's always been bad luck for us to go even visit Port Orleans. For some reason, like, our worst races ever have always been when we've visited Port Orleans. So my suggestion is don't take the bad luck. Go to Coronado or Caribbean Beach. I think the Fort Wilderness cabins would be a hassle. Just the idea of having to catch a bus to go up to the front and then catch a bus that early in the morning. But, I mean, it's doable. I guess you could do it. But I would suggest saving the money and enjoying your vacation. Go to All-Star Sports. That's what I would say.
So one more for our listeners. I know this one was a little bit different because you were going straight from one weekend trip to another weekend trip. But if we have some listeners that want to go and do the races, this is the first time they've done races in the parks. How would you suggest they should schedule their trip as far as, should you put your additional days on the front end before the races? Should you put your additional days on the back end after the races? Should you kind of split it and have the races in the middle?
That's a great question, and one I wish we'd have let off with. Because if we've lost listeners, that question, I wish we'd have let with. That's a great question. And the answer is obvious. The answer is on the back end. You want to load the back end of your vacation after the races. And the reason being is you're waiting for those New Year's crowds to clear out, because you take the New Year's crowds, you add it with the marathon crowds, and you've got a crowded park pretty much through the weekend of the races. Now, those crowds are going to clear out about Monday. They call it Marathon Monday. A lot of your marathoners are going to be in the Magic Kingdom or Epcot, or even DHS now that they've got a substantial alcohol sales there. Let's face it, people, that's one thing they're going for after a race like that. And so Animal Kingdom would be an awesome park to go to on that Marathon Monday. But then Tuesday, it pretty much clears out from what I understand. And over the last couple of years, the marathons have been really backed up to those New Year's weekends because they've been the very first weekend after the holiday. So I have not looked at the calendar next year. I'm going to do that right now because I can tell you if the marathon is that same kind of week, which I don't think it is, you're going to want to back in. But I think next year the marathon is the 10th, 11th, and 12th next year, which is going to be way better. But still, you want to do it on the back end because you don't want to put 3, 4, 5 miles worth of walking on your legs before you're running a race. So it really makes a lot of sense to do everything afterwards.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Cherry.
Yeah. So that's great advice for, you know, whether they're doing the marathon set or, for example, they're doing the Halloween races. They don't necessarily have to run into the, you know, the holiday crowds for that one, like the way they do for Christmas and New Year's and that bunch. But just overall, good advice to, you know, tack your extra days on the back end, and then you don't have all of those extra miles on your feet.
Or, and you don't have any dietary concerns if you're a serious runner or a finisher like I am now. You don't worry about eating the chocolate cake or the, you know, you don't care about having that drink. You know, you're like, I'm free now. I'm not worried about it. So, all right, Kev.
Yeah. So did you and your wife go into the parks after the race this year, or what'd y'all do?
Well, that's what we did, because basically we only really had one day's worth of tickets in the park this year. And we have a tradition. We go with one of the other runners and we always go eat somewhere. And this year, Charity and I worked diligently to get us into space. What's the name of it? Good night.
Space 220.
Yeah. Space 220. We work hard to get that restaurant. So that's what we did. And we went into Epcot. We rode Guardians twice, did Space 220, and pretty much left. So it was we paid money to go to Epcot, basically. Double. Okay, Charity.
Yeah, it was good. So I've got a question, because, you know, whenever we went and did races, we were totally these people. Do you wear your medal in the park?
We don't. We used to. We don't anymore. I'll wear my shirt, but I won't wear the medal. It's just a lot. I don't. You know, I'm not.
One year, whenever I went and ran with you, the one time I've ever run a race ever, what was that? That was 2014. It was the inaugural Avengers run out of Disneyland, and you better believe I wore my medal that entire day. It actually got us on a couple of rides. If you
remember. Yes, it did. Because I'm not afraid to ask.
No.
I am not shy. Yeah, 2014. That was the fastest I was. That's the fastest year of my life. That was
a tough year. That was a tough race. That was a hard race.
Yeah, it was a tough race. All right. Well, any other questions about Walt Disney World Marathon Week this week? I mean, it's like I said, a lot of you, one thing that's different is they were a lot more serious about sweeping people. And from what I understand, the balloon ladies were even catching people at the 10K, wow, which is very odd. They were sweeping people even within the boardwalk and forcing people off the course even that late in the run. Even into Epcot, they were sweeping people. If you don't know what I mean by that, is you're required to keep a 16 mile per hour. What? That's right.
Sixteen minutes.
I messed that up last time we did a show like this. A 16-minute pace. So you have to go 16-minute miles. And for just to give you an idea, your average run-of-the-mill runner is going to do between 9. That's just your average runner is going to do like a 9-minute mile usually. You know, a finisher like me is going to do a 10, 11-minute mile. But you're allowed to do 16-minute miles. And so if you fall behind that pace, they will sweep you off the course. And that's why people become morally challenged and lie about their previous finish times to get a better corral at the beginning of the race, because that makes a huge difference. And it made a big difference in the Disneyland races, which we'll talk about here in a second. In fact, let's move on to the Disneyland races. We'll go to Disneyland and let's talk about that. It'd been about 6 years, I guess, since we had run at Disneyland. I didn't know that they would accept our legacy status, but they did. So we got to be perfects now. So we're perfect Dumbo dopies now. And so I don't know which status we'll keep. I don't know if we will. We're not getting any younger, and that's hard to do back-to-back weekends, especially since our legs had not recovered from running the dopey. So We flew out to Disneyland and got us an Uber over to the airport and or to the amusement park. We stayed at a hotel called the Clementine Inn, which we had read really good reviews of, and I couldn't have got any luckier on the hotel, because literally the start place, they changed the starting point from the Disneyland Hotel parking lot to across the street from the Clementine Hotel, which was unbelievable. We literally, you know, we were like, well, we better wake up at like, you know, 4:40 so we can make it over there, because we're going to have to walk all the way to Disneyland. Nope. We literally could have gotten up 10 minutes before the race and been fine. So we hit the jackpot on where we stayed. Basically, what the difference between the Disney World runs and the Disneyland runs, Disneyland does not offer a full marathon. They have a 5K, a 10K, and a full. Their challenge medal is called the Dumbo Challenge. And basically what that is if you run the 10K and the half, you don't have to run the 5K to be a part of the Dumbo Challenge. This year, the theme for the Dumbo was I didn't tell you the theme for the Disney World Marathon, which was really cool. They did Disney through the ages. And so the 5K was like the 30s and 40s. The 10K was the 50s, 60s, 70s, and so on, which was kind of neat. Except by the time you got to the marathon, it was like all Disney Junior characters, because that's the popular characters from that generation. Anyways, so we the Disneyland races were just a lot different. I mean, I'll just tell you, they have different race announcers. Clarissa is the only race announcer they had out there from the weekend before, and the other race announcers were sorely missed. I'll tell you that. Just any questions about the Disneyland race? I just don't want to be the one talking the whole time, and I feel like I have.
No, I think it's fine. So I guess my question is, I mean, you didn't mention it. What was the theme for the Dumbo, and how is it different as far as characters go?
Well, so what they did was they based it on the main characters there. So the first day was we ran the 10K. So the 10K was a Donald Duck themed race, and the half marathon was a Mickey Mouse themed race. And they basically based their characters according to that. So you had a lot of the ducks out at Disney at the 10K, including at mile two, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, who we had not seen in the parks in years. But here's the thing that they were doing at Disneyland. They were putting characters out in 30-minute shifts, and then they wouldn't let you stand in line they wouldn't let you just wait. They kept moving you along. And so people were furious, because a lot of people, Huey, Dewey, and Louie are very rare characters. And unless you were in Corral A or at the start of B, because we were in the back end of B at that race, you didn't even get to see them, because they went in. And if we'd have stayed, Manda and I could have stayed for them. But by the time we would have waited 30 minutes for them to get around, we didn't know if they would be like some shifts. They were shifting out three characters, so we didn't even know if they would come back around. But we would have been in danger of being swept, because there was only like five corrals at the Disneyland half marathon or 10K. So we could not physically stand there and wait without the danger of being swept. They had some really unique characters, but it was really awful the way they did it. You had Ludwig von Drake was out. They had Darkwing Duck. They had Uncle Scrooge. They had some great Duck characters. But they had Walt Disney World. I'm sorry, I missed one. Walt Disney World had the Ugly Duckling out from the 1930s shorts. And so wow, we got to see him. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, Disney. So back to Disneyland. It was just, you could tell they hadn't done it in a while, because there were just certain things that messed up. And here's the bizarre one. At the half marathon, after all these years, they brought Dumbo out. So they've got a meet and greet Dumbo out there on the stage. Amanda and I hear about it. We take off. We're running there. We get up. They said, line's closed. You can't stand in line. He's going in. And they said, and we're like, when's he coming back out? He'll be back out in 30 minutes. And once again, we can't stay, because we figured it out mathematically. If we'd have stayed, we wouldn't have been able to stop for any other character. This is mile two. And so we're like, well, you know, we're taking a chance. This is like a bucket list character for us. We've always wanted to meet Dumbo. Do we risk it? And so, you know, Manda was thinking, you know, he's up on the stage. You can't stand by him anyway. So I'll just walk in front of him and take the picture and it'll be just, and it'll count. And so in her mind, it was a count. I don't think it counts, but I mean, it really bothered me. I, in fact, sent a message. I sent an email to Run Disney saying that it just kind of took me out of the day. You know, it was like something we really were excited about. And then, nope, you can't have your picture taken with it, which just, it was really odd. And they also had characters in odd spots during the race that they weren't letting you stop and even take pictures. They had the chipmunks in this like really narrow stretch of place standing by all these cheerleaders, and people were trying to stop and take pictures with them. They would not let you. They kept, no pictures. And it's Chip and Dale. Like, people want pictures. And the same with Ray and Chewbacca. They had them up on this thing and people were trying to stop and get their picture. And they were like, no, you can't take a picture. Sorry. And that was just bizarre. Another thing at the Disneyland race that caused a lot of chaos was coming in through. So if you've ever been to California Adventure, I think both of you have, and you're coming in through, coming out of Radiator Springs, and you're going kind of back towards the Brother Bear area of the park, there's this little pathway there. Well, they had a water station there, and the pathway was about as wide across as my wingspan. Okay, imagine folding tables on both sides of the path and thousands of runners trying to run through the middle of this thing. And people walk through water stations. That's kind of a thing. Runners always, a lot of runners will walk through every water station as their break. So you got a lot of people who are walking. And they said, people said that they were having 1-3 minute traffic jams where people were in a timed race, were actually standing there waiting for people to move out of the way to get through the water station. So that was crazy and caused a lot of chaos and excitement that day as well.
Yeah, no kidding. One of the characters I'm curious about, whenever you said all the ducks were out, which is kind of perfect for you. What about Launchpad? Was he out?
Yeah, Launchpad was out. Yeah, Launchpad. And we met a ton of characters that we had not. I mean, I'm not complaining. At Disneyland, we just kept getting lucky. We just kept making character after character. And one of the main reasons is because Brewer was like, the first day we took Brewer out there, we just happened to know a student at Pepperdine who has friends up there, and she agreed to come up and watch him. And so we took Brewer up there, and we said, Brewer, what do you want to do today? And he's like, I want to meet characters. So that's all we did for like 3 days at Disneyland. We turn a corner and there was Shang-Chi, and then we turn a corner and there was Pete. And then it's like we met so many new characters. It was great. Anyways.
That's awesome.
All right. Nice. Charity?
Kind of the same question about, you know, obviously your hotel selection worked out very well. But for our podcast listeners, what hotel suggestions would you make for them specifically for racing at Disneyland?
Well, so what we did was we stayed at the All-Stars twice on our last two vacations in order to save up money to stay at the Disneyland Hotel. So what we did was we stayed at the Clementine Hotel for 3 nights, and then on the back end of our trip, we kind of celebrated with 2 nights at the Disneyland Hotel, which was awesome. If you've got the money, I'm always going to recommend the Disneyland Hotel. There's just something magical about it. We got over there. Brewer walks in the lobby. He goes, now I'm at Disney. And it was like he finally felt like we were there. There's just something about that place that is magical. And I did the magic thing. And, you know, people, this is real. I'm telling you, you do it. You go to the lobby when you get there and you be nice. Don't be like stupid nice where you're like obviously cheesing up. But go to the person and go, you know, you look at their name tag. You say, Charity, I don't know if you got a chance to pull off any magic, but I really like balconies or I like pool view, or is there any way I can not have to look at a parking lot? Just do something like that, low key, And if they do it, great. If they don't, they don't. It paid off this time for us. We had an awesome view of the swimming pool there, which is my favorite view. I would even rather have that than theme park view of being able to watch the people swim at night. It's just kind of fun for me. And then I sounded like a creeper there.
That's a little weird. It's a little weird. Mm-hmm.
I just like listening to the ambiance outside and the swimming noises and
nice recovery.
As I'm enjoying the outdoors there the last night. Anyways, gotta go. That's the one I would recommend. If you're saying offsite, I would recommend heavily doing your due diligence on looking up reviews. I mean, they're the Candy Cane Inn, the Candlelight Inn, the Camelot. They'll start with C for some reason. Clementine. These are good hotels, but the Holiday Inn there on the backside of the property there, up from the Disneyland Hotel, would be a good place to stay. There's a lot of good places to stay up there. You just need to do your due diligence and also price check, because there's places like the Fairfield Inn Main Gate or some of the Main Gate hotels are deceptively expensive, and you'll be paying more than you thought you would. And it may just be worth staying at Paradise Pier, or what they're going to call Pixar Pier from now on, maybe a better value for you.
Oh, that's great. Well, it sounds like y'all had a good trip. I mean, I would think that doing the back-to-back kind of coast-to-coast type thing would be challenging. I mean, it's a challenge just for a lot of people work-wise, being able to be gone that amount of time. It's also a challenge financially. From a travel standpoint, goodness gracious, you're right around probably about $1,000 to do all of the races at that point. So it's a lot of money.
I will say that we did run for charity on the Dopey. So we did save a little money doing that. You can raise your entrance fee. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we go ahead and pay our entrance fee. But if you run for charity, they generally cover your entrance fee, and that way you can do all these races. You're generally running most races. You're raising about $1,000-$2,000, so they don't mind paying your entrance fee. So if they get 20 people on their team, and each person's raising $2,000, there's $40,000. So it's pretty nice.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think I have any other questions. Charity, do you have any other questions?
No, I think that's it for me.
Yeah, I would add just a couple things for our listeners if they're considering going. The expo at Disneyland is going to be a lot more chill. You don't have to freak out about getting there. They had their product pretty good that week, and it was pretty good. I really enjoyed the week. I think Disneyland's going to get back in their groove, and it's going to be back to normal. And I don't think we'll have these hiccups anymore. I will say I couldn't run for a whole week afterwards. I could barely walk. My IT band was like, okay, dude, what's your deal? This is ridiculous. And so we did that. This is my slowest time for a marathon since 2012, I think. This was my slowest time, but I was quite proud of my 5-hour finish, and so we made it. So anyways, all right, well, that's it for you Run Disney folks. If you're interested in Run Disney, they are going to have Halloween races at Disneyland this year. There's also the Princess Half Marathon, which takes place at Disney World. You also have the Springtime Surprise, which I think still has some slots open, if I am not mistaken. I'm sure you can run for charity for the not our charity, but run for a charity on the Springtime Surprise race. And then there is, those are the races basically at this point. So anyways, that's it for this week. We'll be back hopefully soon, and you're never too old to wish upon a star.